we're going to end our series of people who were all in with God and people who folded. You don't have to be perfect to be all in. You just have to do things for the glory of God. When we fold, we can always come back by repenting. So come listen to find out how to receive redemption when we are all in but may have folded.
Well, hello everyone. This is Marcus.
And Trisha.
And we are...
The Messengers.
That's right. This is going to be a wrap-up show and of what we've been talking about the past two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So this time is going to be interesting.
Yes.
We're kind of putting people that did both, were all in and had folded.
That's right. Our first show was about people from the Bible who were all in with God.
Right.
And then our last show was about people who folded, who gave in and gave up.
Right.
Now this time, we're going to be talking about almost all the people in the Bible.
More famous.
They were both all in and folded.
Yeah.
And we, as humans and as Christians, we do this often.
Right.
We can be all in a certain situation and then... You know, get off the path and get kind of folded, but the good news is we can always come back.
Absolutely.
And
God welcomed us with open arms, ready for us.
Yes, He does. And it's important to remember that we don't have to be perfect
exactly. To
be all in. It just means that what you do for the glory of God.
Amen to that.
We all mess up and we all wander and... That doesn't mean that He's going to conceal His will for our lives just because we do that.
Right.
He's not going to take anything away from us. But when we do find ourselves in this situation, all we have to do is repent, and He is gracious to forgive us. So now we're going to talk about some people from the Bible who had these situations. Over the last two episodes, we've been talking about lesser-known people, but today we're going to talk about the famous ones, because we don't want to get these people idolized. You know, we don't want to see them as, oh, they were so wonderful.
They're talked about so much in the Bible.
They were wonderful, but they also had their problems,
too. They had their faults, yeah, just like all of us.
Mm-hmm. They were just people.
Right. The first person we're going to look at is Abraham and Ishmael. And this story can be found in Genesis 16, verses 1 through 6. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to read that, or we're not going to read any of these chapter parts, but we would encourage you, definitely go out and read these scriptures that we're giving you and get a better idea of, we can learn so much from not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament.
Yes.
And we can see how to change things in our lives so that we don't have to go through the things that some of these people did.
Right. We need to learn from their mistakes. And
right.
Just like we want you to learn from the mistakes that Marcus and I have made,
right.
We're trying to teach you so that you have it better.
Absolutely. I'm sure if some of you out there are younger brothers or sisters, that you probably have older siblings that you've seen your older siblings do something wrong, and you see them get in big trouble or whatever it was, and you're like, I'm not going to do that. I've learned from their mistakes. So,
yeah.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do here. We're trying to learn from past mistakes that we have made and let you guys know kind of how we got through it,
mm-hmm.
but also through the word, how these people got through the mistakes that they had made. So, without any further ado.
We're talking about, it actually is Abram and Ishmael, because he wasn't given the name Abraham yet.
That's right. My mistake. See, I repent. I want to point one thing out real quick before we go on is we probably shouldn't have done this, but we have a plate of chips on the table right now with some really good chips, and I really would like to eat some right now, but I'm going to hold off until after the show. But these chips are just so good.
So anyway. You guys are pretty special.
Yeah, if he can hold off. Just for you guys.
Yes, very special.
So with Abram and Ishmael, he didn't trust God enough to wait for his promise for a child with Sarah. So the end result bore a whole nation that was in constant conflict with God's chosen people.
So basically, the next person we talk about is Sarah, too. Basically, what happened was God told Abram that he would make descendants from him as numerous as the stars.
Or as numerous from the sand on the seashore.
That's right. Yeah. Things that cannot be counted. Just incredible, wonderful things. But after a couple years, after a while, Sarah thought, well, maybe he's supposed to get it some other way and not through me.
Right.
So she gave her servant Hagar to be with Abram, and she was, and she became pregnant and had a son named Ishmael. And then she kind of gloated that over Sarah, who became mad at
Abram.
Abram, yes. It's always the guy's fault.
Right.
So they kind of had to deal with that issue. The end result was that Abram had to send Hagar and Ishmael away. And they moved to the land of Canaan, which we know from other episodes and from reading the Bible is where the place that Israel had to conquer. So it was kind of like the two brothers, because Israelites came off from Isaac. They were at constant war with each other.
Right.
That's a long way of saying
that. That's a long way to go for that. That's right.
But
also, when Sarah had not bore a son yet, and mm-hmm. she hadn't born a son because, you know, she was a lot older in her age, and so was Abram, but she was thinking that there was no way in my age that I can have a child.
Mm-hmm.
So when the angel of the Lord came, she laughed when God said that she would bore a child to Abraham.
It's kind of a funny story because she was sitting in the tent and the angel of the Lord was outside talking to Abraham, and he said, by this time next year, you will have a son.
Right.
With your wife, Sarah. And she laughed. And the angel said to her, why did you laugh? And she's like, oh, I didn't laugh. And he's like, I heard you laugh. It's kind of like, okay. So, but when Isaac was born, and she was 90 when Isaac was born, and Abraham was 100. So these people were well past their years of childbearing.
Yeah.
So that's why it was such a miracle that Isaac was born.
But when Isaac was born, Sarah was, in fact,
all in.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
she had folded.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when she saw the result of what had happened, you know, when you can see the physical part of it, most people will be all in.
Yeah.
But when there's the prophesying of what's going on to you and you don't see it happen, especially if you don't see it happen immediately,
mm-hmm.
so many people will fold and they will say, okay, well, I guess it was just a word, but it wasn't for me. Or you know, I guess God forgot about me.
Yeah.
You know, when there's words spoken over you, don't give in to what the devil wants you to believe, because he will do his best to try and make you believe that what was spoken over you was false and is not ever going to happen.
Right.
So
he tries to steal your blessing.
Exactly.
And you have the choice to give that to him and give in to him and let him essentially steal that from you. Or you have the choice to stand and say, no, this is my promise. This is what God said, and I am standing on that.
Right. So many times, though, man, we're expecting it to happen immediately. And when it doesn't, it's easy to fold.
It is.
But we have to understand one thing, too, that we can't change the timing that it happens.
Right.
We can't change God's mind, because his mind is perfect.
Perfect.
Everything that he's done for us is perfect. So we have to understand it's going to be in God's timing. And sometimes if something's spoken over us, it may not happen for years afterwards. So, or we may do something to where we stop it from happening at all. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand, we have to keep believing and keep standing on His word and keep standing on what the word spoken over us was for it to come to pass.
And we will be talking more in depth about that in some further episodes.
Absolutely.
So look forward to that. Keep listening.
All right. So the next person we're going to talk about is Elijah. And this I love the story of Elijah. And this story can be found in 1 Kings. Really the whole chapter, the whole 1st and 2nd Kings. But the scriptures we're going to be talking about is out of 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 36 to 40. And also 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 9. Mm-hmm. So Elijah had just finished witnessing God destroying the altar of fire, and Elijah had killed about 450 of the prophets of Baal. But he runs in fear when Jezebel sends him a note. Out of all this, he killed these 450 prophets by himself.
And this altar, the backstory was kind of, it hadn't rained in 3 years, and he had prophesied that. And then, so all these people were serving Baal and like cutting themselves and praying and screaming and doing all this crazy stuff to get Baal to send down rain for them. So they had made this altar. And so Elijah went to the altar after 3 years and he said, soak it with water and do all this
stuff.
Three times.
And it was really hard for them to do that because of the drought.
The drought. They didn't have the water. But they did.
But they did it. And they're, you know, you're thinking, you know, if you drench this altar three times with water, how in the world is fire going to
come down?
Come down and not only come down, but if it does come down, how's it going to light?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just God. Mm-hmm. You know, He confounds the wise.
That's right.
It's awesome.
So he did. Elijah called down fire from heaven and
God sent it,
and it licked up all the water.
All the water, everything.
Everything, the wood, everything burned. And so then the prophets of Baal, these 450 prophets, were scared out of their minds.
Oh, yeah, they ran. And Elijah ran down after all of them.
He pursued them and killed them all.
Yep. When Elijah, though, received that note from Jezebel, he ran not only from her, but he ran from God.
Mm-hmm.
But then he realized his mistake, and then he did what?
He repented.
He repented, exactly. And that is what we have to do every time. Mm-hmm. You know, when we run from God or when we run from a situation, if we will just stop and repent and say, God, I'm sorry I did this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go from here. Mm-hmm. Let's start from here.
Next, we're going to talk about King Saul.
Yes.
He was King Saul an interesting was, story.
He was the tallest man of
all the Israelites. Yeah.
All the Israelites.
Amazing. He just has an amazing story.
Best looking, I think, is what they said.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very, very nice to look at.
But he was shy.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be
king. He didn't want it, yeah.
But this is found in 1 Samuel. We're going to look at chapter 11, verses 12 through 15, and a little bit of chapter 12, verse 16, and then chapter 13, 7 through 15. So just read 1 Samuel and you'll learn
just
about
like,
a lot
first
of
and
this
second,
stuff.
1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel.
Yeah.
They're great.
There's just some amazing stories
there. David's in 1 and 2 Kings too also. Oh, the story of David, phenomenal.
And King Saul was before David. I mean, a lot of David came from King Saul.
Mm-hmm.
So like we said, Saul didn't even want to become king, but the people asked for a king, and he became Israel's first king. And a little interesting note on that, God was upset that the people wanted a king. They're like, we want a king, we want a king. And he is like, I'm your God. You know, I'm bigger than any king you could ever have. But he gave in, and so he gave them a good king. Saul was mighty and great in God's sight, but then he got arrogant.
Right.
And he did something very, very wrong. They were going out to war, and before they went to war, they had to have an offering to the Lord. And Samuel, the prophet, who was the prophet at that time, had to do this. When they went off to this war, Saul saw that Samuel had not come in the time he said he would. And the people were getting very anxious and nervous and were starting to leave. So what did King Saul do?
Did it himself.
He did. He made the offering himself, which was very, very wrong. Yes. Very wrong. And because he did that, God told him that he would cut off his descendants and they would not retain the throne.
Ouch.
Yeah. So he folded completely, but he was all in when he became king.
From the beginning, he started making excuses for a lot of different things. It was the people's fault. The people wanted to do this. Somebody else did it. And it was never his fault. So I'm sure a lot of people out there know a lot of some friends or family or even other people, co-workers that they work with, that it's never my fault. You know, it's I didn't do it. So they'll do whatever they can to blame it on someone else. I work with a lot of people like that. So, but it's important to remember that we've got to love these people also. Just the way God loves them. He shows all of us grace and mercy. And we need to show everybody out there, even people that do things against us, we need to show them grace and mercy as well. And we need to learn to love these people.
Yes.
Regardless of what they say or do to us.
And King Saul was, even though he had done this terrible thing, and God did not cut him off, he was still king for many, many years.
Right. Even after David had been crowned king, or told he was, or he was, yeah, not told, crowned, but no. He was told he was going to be king. King Saul still remained king for a while after that.
And he did great things for the people of Israel.
Right.
You know, he wasn't a horrible king. He just had done something terrible to lose his
kingship.
Yes.
For him and his family. All right, so the next person we're going to be moving on to is Peter. And you can find this out of Matthew 26, verses 69 to 75. So with Peter, he was all in with Jesus as a disciple. But when push really came to shove, he was told beforehand that he would deny Jesus.
Three times.
And he, in fact, did deny Jesus three times, as Jesus told him he would. And when Jesus told him, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I would never do that to you. But you know, you're right. When push did come to shove, he did, in fact, deny him. So But even after he denied him, he felt so horrible about what he had done that he realized what had happened. And once again, he was forgiven by Jesus. And it's important, like I said, when people ask for forgiveness from us, just let it go. You know, it's so easy for the devil to get a foothold into us and allow us to hold those things against other people. But we can't do that, because it will cause strife. It will cause problems in people's lives.
It builds and builds and builds in our hearts and our minds. It's like we think about it over and over and over, and it becomes stronger and becomes a stronghold in our life, and we don't need that. You know?
All right, so after Peter had asked for forgiveness, the remainder of his life, he was all in with
all
Jesus.
All in completely.
Absolutely.
As far as the Bible is concerned. As far as we know. So let's move on to Paul. Paul was another big one. He kind of was flipped. And we find in Acts 9, verse 1 through 31, he started out being folded. He thought he was doing what God wanted, but he was totally against the Christians, and he killed them and persecuted them like crazy. I mean, really bad. But Jesus showed himself to Paul in physical form, and he said, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And so he went through this whole time. He had to repent and come to learn who Jesus was and do all that. And then he did convert and became a permanent fixture in the Bible and in our history today.
Exactly. And you know, when you have this reputation of killing Christians, and you become a Christian, it was really, really hard for the disciples and other believers to believe that he was, in fact, converted.
That's right.
So it was hard for them to really kind of accept him for being a believer.
Oh, yes.
But he had to show them. And sometimes when we do fold and when we do things that cause people to not trust us any longer, we have to take that time and gain that trust back from them. So that was something that Paul really had to do. But Paul went out writing a third of the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, man, he was so well learned.
Oh, yeah. In Greek and Hebrew
and the
many languages.
Yep, exactly.
He was well scholared.
Yes, he was. All right, so the last person we're going to look at before we wrap up is going to be Thomas. And this part of what we're going to be talking about can be found in John 20, verses 24 to 29. So Thomas was all in as a disciple, but then he didn't trust when he heard Jesus had risen from the dead. He told them that he would only trust if he felt the nail scars in Jesus' hands and feet. But guess what? Jesus did show him that.
That's right.
And he said, Jesus said, blessed are those who have not yet seen, yet have believed.
That's
and
right.
That is, so, that's an important thing, you know.
That story kind of was, Thomas was one of the disciples, but when Jesus rose from the dead, he came and showed himself to the disciples that were there because they had all scattered.
Right.
And then when Thomas came in, Jesus wasn't there, and the disciples told him, Jesus is alive, he's alive, he's risen. And he's kind of like,
right,
I don't know, I think you guys are a little crazy. I'll believe when I can feel those scars on his hands.
Right.
And so they call him Doubting Thomas.
Right.
That's what a lot of people call him.
And in fact, even today, other people are called Doubting Thomas when they don't believe these type of things.
So, yeah.
Or certain things, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when Jesus did come and he was there, he said, look, feel my hands. Feel the scars in my side.
Right.
Now you can trust it as me. But those people who haven't seen me and who believe, they are blessed. Blessed, blessed, blessed. So we
are blessed.
These are just a few examples of people who were all in with God, but wavered at times. And that is acceptable to God, as long as you repent and see the error of your ways. It's not like you're never going to make a mistake or never mess up. So, and God is not mad at you when you do mess up. That is actually a learning experience that he can use to teach you some of life's lessons. That's how he teaches us, is through growing and the ways that we learn and that we fail and get back up. He loves us very much and longs to see you walk in his ways all the days of your life. He wants you always with him. So if you feel you've done something wrong or you're out of God's will, the remedy is easy. It's easy. All you have to do is repent, feeling regret in your heart for the wrong you have done. You can't just say, oh, I repent. But you have to feel it in your heart. And you have to turn around and do like a 180. But that's all there is. Just believe that God has forgiven you and receive the full extent of his love. Jesus died on the cross just so you could be forgiven of that one sin. Every sin. Think of it that time. Jesus died on the cross. Just forgive me for this one sin. And every time you can say that, because he did just that. He died for your sins.
But it's also important to remember that you can't use that as a crutch for going out and sinning. You know, it's important that we have a change of heart.
Yes.
And that we want to please God. And that we want to go out and show others how we live and how we live a Christian life.
That's right.
That means the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the TV shows we watch, the books we read,
mm-hmm.
all the things that we do, we need to be an example of Jesus.
Yes.
So we need to change the way we do things in life.
Mm-hmm.
We need to watch the things that we say and watch the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So
because other people are watching us.
Exactly. So we don't want to be a bad example. of what a lot of Christians today are doing. So many people call themselves a Christian, yet they go out and they watch R-rated movies, X-rated movies. They go out and they'll
drink,
talk about,
and
they'll
cuss and,
well, yeah, and do all these things, and that shows that their heart really truly hasn't been changed. So if that's the way you are, I want you to think about exactly what you're doing. Are you really living for God, or are you living for yourself? So if you think about that and you say, well, I'm really kind of living for myself, repent.
Mm-hmm.
Repent, change the things you're doing in life, and live for Jesus, live mm-hmm. for God, mm-hmm. live for the kingdom, for bringing other people to the kingdom, so that you can change their eternal salvation as well as your own.
That's right. And if you're a new Christian or someone who is just beginning to learn these things, it doesn't have to happen all at once.
Right.
You don't overnight have to just stop everything that you're doing. You know, it kind of can come gradually sometimes.
Right.
Like I know someone said that they used to cuss a lot and just say bad words. And they didn't even realize how much they were doing it. But once they became a Christian, they just started realizing, you know, just one day they stopped doing it. They just thought, I don't need to be saying this stuff.
Right.
And it wasn't that they weren't saved when they were saying that stuff. They just realized they didn't want to be doing that. They realized it was out of God's will.
Exactly. And, you know, it's like I said, it's a changed heart. I mean,
yes.
You can be in jail and give your life to the Lord and fall asleep that night, and when you wake up the next morning, you're still going to be in jail.
That's right.
You're still going to be in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends on what you do with that situation. Are you going to live in that situation and have it be a horrible thing for you? Or are you going to change
right.
and say, hey, wherever I'm at, I'm going to start living for the Lord, and I'm going to change and be mm-hmm. a better person?
That's right. Well, we can just say that Jesus loves you, and he would die all over again just for you.
Amen.
It's amazing to think about that, and it can kind of blow your mind if you really try and think about it. But Jesus came and died just for you. I mean, luckily it was for everyone. That's his plan. It was for everyone. But if it had just been for you, Marcus, he would have died just for you.
And if it would have been just for anybody out there listening,
that's right.
Jesus would have gladly done it as well for any one of us.
That's right. For every single one of us.
Amen.
So you just need to repent of your sins, like we said, and receive. You have to also receive
right. The
love and forgiveness that God has for you.
All right. So you may be out there listening and have never received Jesus as your Savior. So if you have never done that, I want you to understand something. Choosing to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior is the single most important decision that you will ever make in your life. So let's look at what God's Word says. This is Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. It says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then if we skip a couple of lines down to Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Are you a whosoever today? Have you never done this before? I want you to understand it. It's very simple. By the grace of God, he's done everything already to provide salvation. Your part is to simply believe and receive. I know we've been talking a lot about receiving today mm-hmm. and a lot about believing. So if you're ready to believe and receive and change your eternal address, I would like for you to pray this out loud with me. Jesus, I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. By faith in your word, I receive salvation now. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Amen.
So I want you to understand this also. When you pray that, when you say those words, they can't just be words. They need to be words from your heart. But if you have said that and you believed it in your heart, I want you to understand that the very moment that you commit your life to Jesus Christ, the truth of his word will instantly come to pass in your spirit. And that means now that you're born again, it means you're brand new. So welcome to your new life.
Amen.
Now go out and live it for Jesus.
And there are things that we want to help you with. Our ministry that we have is teaching others to teach others. We want to teach you and show you how to live a godly life and how you can have a relationship with God so that you can go out and teach others how to have that same relationship that you have with God.
Exactly.
And if you have just prayed that prayer, we would love to hear from you. You can reach us at...
Let's see if you remember this.
TheMessengersRadio.com.
Hey, you got it. And you can also reach us on Facebook at simply facebook.com/MessengersRadio.
Messengers Radio.
Right. No D.
No D.
But if you go to our website, you can also click on the Facebook thing at the top, and also Google Plus and Twitter, and get us on those as well.
And you can, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us individually on our
website.
There's
a contact button.
Yes.
I'll help you out here. There's a little thing that you can fill out, and that form that you fill out, once you submit it, will go to both Tricia and my email. Or if you want to email us individually, our emails are on there as well. I'm looking so forward to this.
He's about to eat his chip.
I thank you guys so much for listening today.
We love you guys.
Yes.
We'll talk to you later.
So good.
Have you enjoyed this episode of The Messengers? They would love to hear from you. Join them on the website at www.themessengersradio.com or on Facebook at Messengers Radio, and let them know if they can pray for you or stand with you on anything.